Are we guilty by association? I'd just like to say that we all realise that the Bible is God's word. But unfortunately, not all Bibles present the word of God correctly. And today, Brother Goodman gave a very good discourse that really had a little point pointing towards this, what I'm talking about today. First of all, we had that hymn, wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art, and our Heavenly Father is that great. And Brother Bob mentioned how every star that our Heavenly Father created, he named. And then we remember that after Adam had been created, our Heavenly Father gave Adam the job of naming every animal and creature on this earth. So really it is so important to have a name and have a good outstanding name. And so I'd like to go to slide two, Brother Ray. And from that I'll be quoting from Joel 2:32, and that will be from the RVIC. Joel 2:32, the first one is from the Derby translation, and the second one that I will read will be from the RVIC. And there's two scriptures here, Joel 2:32. And it will be that whosoever or whoever will call on the name of Jehovah, and if we look at that, it is not the Lord, will be saved. What does Isaiah 42:8 have to say? I am Jehovah, not the Lord. That is my name. That's from the Derby translation, which was printed about 1880. Now, the two scriptures from the RVIC, exactly the same. Joel 2:32 and Isaiah 42:8. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Jehovah, that is, not the Lord, will be delivered. Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah. And again, it's not the Lord. That is my name. Other Bibles that use God's name as it was written in the Tetragrammaton are the American Standard Version of 1901, the Divine Name King James Bible, and the New World Translation, and probably a few others. But these ones mainly use God's name in the Hebrew scriptures 6,800 to 7,000 times as it was intentionally put there. And I did notice today that when Brother Colin gave his discourse, I don't know what Bible he used, but it was nearly word for word with the RVIC and included the divine name. So we have to ask ourselves a question, brethren, and sometimes we might find it uncomfortable. As Bible students, why do many still prefer to use translations that under Jewish influence, the Catholic Church and the Protestant faiths have, in most cases, if not all, removed the sacred name, that most sacred name in the universe, from God's most holy word? This is most important. It's a very important issue. Refer back to the scripture. Excuse me, I'm getting some interruption. Brethren, if we go back and read Joel, it tells us there that we must call on the name of Jehovah to be saved. We are God's people. We must be holy. Our garments must be without spot. And that means, brothers and sisters, that we must not be swayed by false religious leaders who, under the guidance of Satan, have removed God's name, Jehovah, the I Am, from the scriptures and replaced it with the lowly title, Adonai, or Lord. And slide three now, Brother Ray, if you've got that. And that shows that was the religious leaders that removed the divine name from God's word. And now slide four. The high priest of Israel wore a headband of solid gold, and you can see it there around his turban. And you can see the Tetragrammaton there, the divine name inscribed on it. When you go on any Jewish website today, you will see that they don't show it. They will say it is G in capital letters dash D. Also, most of the Christian sites, if you go on looking at the headband that the high priest wrote, wore, they render it Lord. This isn't right. We can definitely see there on that headband that it is a tetragrammaton. And that's why it is so important to render the divine name as our Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, intended it to be. And on here, Revelation 14:1, next to the crown there, it says, "Then I saw, and look, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. And what did they have? Who have his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." So what name do they have? They have the same name as the high priest of Israel had on his headband, and that is God's name. Brethren, the information that I'm going to discuss today is based on the scriptures only. It doesn't spring from any private interpretation, and the non-biblical sources I am going to quote from are sound and accurate and are there for everybody to see. I'd like to quote from an author and scholar called Keith E. Johnson in a book he wrote in 2011, and it was titled His Hallowed Name Revealed. And I quote, he said, "It is a well-known fact that most Jews will not speak the personal name of God, even if they know how to pronounce it." And then he goes on to give us an illustration. He says, when a Jewish boy prepares for his bar mitzvah by reading the Torah scroll and sees the Hebrew name, that is the tetragrammaton, his rabbi will tell him to say Adonai. If the boy has Jewish word chutzpah, which actually translates into gall or nerve, to ask why he should substitute a title for the actual name written in the text, his rabbi will probably say, "Tradition, my son." And then, after his bar mitzvah, if he receives a beautiful copy of the stone edition of the Pentateuch as a gift after the ceremony, he will have in his possession the traditional Jewish answer to this question. And I read, "During prayer, or when a blessing is recited, or when a Torah verse is read, the four-letter name should be pronounced if it was spelled Adonai, the name that identifies God as the master of all. At other times, it should be pronounced Hashem, literally the name." So, brethren, we see the Jewish nation will not pronounce the name of God, Jehovah. We could ask, we don't want to be like the Jews. No wonder, because we know that the Jewish nation were a stiff-necked, unfaithful race that were cast off and lost the heavenly calling. Remember Isaiah 42, verse 8, that we read, or I quoted at the beginning of the discourse, "I am Jehovah, that is my name." You know, some Bible students have said, I, or we, do not like to use the name Jehovah because people may think that we are associated with Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, brethren, that's not a very good excuse. We could say it's a weak excuse. Just because the Jehovah's Witnesses have misused the divine name, and they have, because if last week you watched Four Corners on the ABC and you saw that program on how Jehovah's Witnesses have handled the pedophilia cases, it is disgusting. And they have brought reproach upon Jehovah's name. Now, why did I say this isn't a very good excuse? Well, as I said, the Jehovah's Witnesses have misused the divine name. But this gives us no reason to avoiding God's name. Jehovah's name was in use long before they came into existence. They didn't come into existence until 1930. Brother Russell used it well before that time, and many others used it. Just because people take something that is holy and misuse it, it doesn't excuse us from referring to his most holy name. For an example, the LBGT community today have taken the rainbow and they use it as their official flag. What was the rainbow? It was God's covenant, his promise that he would no more flood the whole earth and wipe out its inhabitants. Does that mean that we should not refer to this rainbow promise anymore because it is now their official sign? The answer is no. Also, the native Aborigines of Australia have named one of their gods as the rainbow serpent. So let us go on now to research. And after much research, it has now become more apparent as to when, why, and how God's most holy name was replaced with the term Adonai when it appeared in the Torah. And for this, we need to go back to around about 160 to 170 BCE, when the Seleucid Greeks were trying to Hellenize the Jewish people. History tells us that Israel was conquered by Alexander the Great in 332 BCE, and his empire continued to rule over the Jews until the revolt of the Hasmoneans under the leadership of Judas Maccabeus. This revolt was successful. They recaptured Jerusalem and rededicated the temple in 164 BCE. The Seleucid ruler at that time was Antiochus IV, who came to power in 175 BCE. He was the main cause of this revolt because, unlike his predecessors, he was not tolerant of the Jewish faith, and he started to persecute the Jews in earnest. He outlawed many of their observances, including their dietary laws, the Sabbath, circumcision of children, and most important of all was the ban on speaking the divine name Jehovah. He went on so far as to desecrate the temple, and that is slide 5, Brother Ray. And how did he desecrate the temple? By sacrificing a pig to the false god Zeus in Jehovah's temple in the year 167 BCE. This started the revolt. To back up this ban on the divine name, I will quote what the Talmud has to say about this. I quote from the Talmud Rosh Hashanah, section 18b, which says, on the third of Tishrei, the ordinance requiring the mention of God's name in legal documents was abolished, and on that day fasting is forbidden. For the kingdom of Greece has issued a decree against the Jews forbidding them to mention the name. So, brethren, we can only conclude that before this ban by the Grecian Empire came, the divine name was spoken and used in everyday life. As further proof, I quote from the Lachish letters, which were written from the military outpost of Lachish, which was a strategic Jewish position on the principal road linking Jerusalem with Egypt, and it covered an area of about 20 acres with a population of approximately 7,000. When the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar overran Judah, Lachish was one of the last fortified cities to fall before Jerusalem. And if we read Jeremiah 34, 6 and 7, and I think that's slide 6, Brother Ray, then, and that's Jeremiah 34, 6 and 7, then Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem, when the king of Babylon's army was fighting against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah they were left, against Lachish and against Ezekiah. For these alone remained of the cities of Judah as fortified cities. And that scripture is from the RVIC. What is remarkable about these pottery shards, which were discovered in the years 1935 to 1938, is that nearly all of these shards of pottery contain greetings starting with "May Jehovah," that is in the form of the Tetragrammaton, "cause my Lord to hear this very day tidings of good." This shows again that during the period, this period, that the divine name was in common use. And this is quoted from ancient Near Eastern texts, page 322. So after the revolt, the Hasmoneans, that is the Maccabees, who were mostly composed of the Sadducees, wanted to restore the divine name back into its rightful place. But the rabbis or the rabbinical religious leaders who were composed mostly of the Pharisees opposed them. And I again quote from the Talmud, the Rosh Hashanah 18b section, and it says, when the Hasmoneans became strong and defeated them, that was the Greeks they defeated, they, that is the Jews, ordained that they should mention again the name of God, even on bonds. And when the sages, that is the rabbis, heard of it, they said, tomorrow this man will pay his debt. And the bond, or the contract, brothers and sisters, with the divine name written on it, will be thrown onto a dunghill. And the rabbis stopped them. Ultimately, the rabbis took the issue too far and they disallowed the pronunciation and speaking of the Heavenly Father's divine name by his people, the Jews. I must mention, though, brethren, that there is still debate over how widespread this ban was or for how long it existed. But it is safe to say that for at least 300 years after this event, there were still pockets of people who obeyed the ban and others who disobeyed it. When our Messiah, Jesus, read from the scroll of Isaiah 61:1 in the synagogue, he would have read it exactly as it was written in the scroll at the synagogue, and that would have been, "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me." And that is exactly as it appeared in the scroll he read from. Other Jewish sects that upheld this ban of the divine name were the Essenes. I quote from their rules and regulation, which were recovered with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I'm talking about a particular cave. These were the caves in Qumran. And cave one, the document, column 6, line 27 to column 7, line 2, titled "The Manual of Discipline," reads, "Anyone who speaks aloud the most holy name of God, whether in or cursing or as a blurt in time of trial or for any other reason or while he is reading a book or praying, is to be expelled, never again to return to the body of the community." And then, brethren, we have the Sopharim. We've all heard of them. Scribes from about 400 years before Christ. And they took it upon themselves to remove the divine name in 134 instances in the Hebrew scriptures and replaced it with the word Adonai. So this perversion of unfaithful Israel continued on. And after AD 70, it appears that the use of God's name, Jehovah, the great I am, was completely banned. And those who used it could even be punished by death. And this is exactly what happened to a Jewish rabbi approximately in the year 136 CE. His name was Haninah Herodon. He was put to death by the evil Roman Emperor Hadrian. What was he put to death for? For publicly speaking the divine name from the Torah. When asked why, he said, "Thus the Lord, my God, Tetragrammaton commanded me. Now, for speaking the name in its full spelling, Yehovah or Jehovah, he was wrapped in a Torah scroll and burnt to death. And this is quoted from the Babylonian Talmud, Avodah Zarah, section 17a to 17b. And again, in the 3rd century, I quote from the Mishnah, tractate of the Sanhedrin, section 10.1. The following have no portion in the world to come, Abba Saul says. Also, one who pronounces a divine name, as it is written, will have no portion in the world to come. The Mishnah is a collection of oral interpretations of the Torah. It was compiled by Rabbi Yehuda, the prince, and others around the year 200 CE. Brethren, we note that until the last Jewish king, Zedekiah, when he was removed from the throne, that before that, our Heavenly Father's name, Jehovah, was in full usage, as shown, as I quoted from the Lachish letters. It was included in any business contracts they had with each other. Gradually, though, the divine name was slowly but surely replaced by Adonai. And that after 70 AD, it was forbidden to pronounce it in public. We have historical evidence of the fact from the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, who was born around 36 AD. In reference to the revelation of the name Jehovah to Moses at the burning bush, he states, whereupon God declared to him his holy name, which had never been discovered to men before, concerning which it is not lawful for me to say any more. And this was quoted from the complete works of Josephus. Now, when he says that it is not lawful for me to say the name any more, this indicates that, in fact, he had spoken the divine name many times during his lifetime. But now, due to the ban, either religious or governmental, it is not lawful for me to say it any more. This procedure of replacing the divine name Adonai was then accepted by the false Christian church, Babylon the Great, and has continued down to this day. Most of the Bible translations we have today, except a few, have removed the divine name and substituted in capital letters Lord. And some religions, especially the Roman Catholic Church, have forbidden it at all to be spoken in any of their services, hymns, prayers, etc. This ban was officially enforced in writing to the Bishops' Conference in the year 2008 by Pope Benedict the 16th. His directive was as follows, and I quote, in liturgical celebrations, in songs and prayers, the name of God in the form of the Tetragrammaton, YHYH, is neither to be used or pronounced. 2, for the translation of the biblical text in modern languages destined for the liturgical usage of the church. What is to be followed? That is, the divine Tetragrammaton is to be rendered by the equivalent of Adonai or Kyrie, Lord, quoted from the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, 29th of June, 2008. In another part of this letter to the bishops, he also said, the title Lord is interchangeable between the God of Israel and the Messiah of the Christian faith, even though it is not in fact used for the Messiah of Israel. End of quote. Now, brethren, we see what is behind this. They want to prove that Jehovah and Jesus are the same, that they are part of a triune trinity. Although using the divine name is not forbidden mostly in the Protestant religions, nevertheless, they do not want to use it. They, as well as the Catholic Church, as we know, are Trinitarians, and they feel all the same way. And to show that, I would like to quote to you from Harper's Study Bible, printed in 1978. And on page 5, they say, "The use of any proper name for the one and only God, as though there were other gods from whom he had to be distinguished, was discontinued in Judaism before the Christian era and is entirely inappropriate for the universal faith of the Christian church." So notice that. They say it's not important to use God's name at all. But as we know, this is a false statement. Just as Satan lied to Eve in the garden, so today, through his worldwide false religious empire, Babylon the Great has spread the lie that God's name is, in capital letters, Lord. That is why we see that most translators of the Holy Bible, which is the Word of God, have followed the same system as the unfaithful nation of Israel, under the guidance and direction of their rabbis, and substitute the divine name as Lord or Adonai. And now I'd like to quote to you from Brother Russell. It is very interesting what Brother Russell thought about the most holy name in the universe. I would like to quote to you from what Pastor Russell wrote for the Overland Monthly on pages 423 to 424 under the chapter Jehovah's Saintly Jewels. In this chapter, he deals with the true congregation, the ecclesia, the bride class, those that have consecrated themselves fully to him during the gospel age. He mentions that this class were the ones who thought upon his name. And he goes on to say, in olden times, the name stood for the character. Now, we too often give names at random. Too many times an ignoble character bears a noble name. But in olden times, people were very particular to attach a name that would fit the person's character. For instance, our Lord was named Jesus because he was to save his people from their sins. Jesus means Saviour. God's name stands for his character, glorious in righteousness. Not many think highly of the character of our God. There is a reason for this. For centuries, the religious teachers have described the divine character in such a way as to make it very undesirable for any to think much about him. Too many times the name Jehovah God stands for one who's to be feared for his mighty power. But with God's dear children, this is not so. They love God and delight to study about his name. End of quote. I think that's a wonderful statement of fact and truth from the seventh messenger, Brother Russell, and shows the love he had for his God, his heavenly Father, Jehovah the Great I Am. I think I can say that Brother Russell found comfort, or would have found comfort, in the words of Psalms, in the whole book of Psalms. I would like to read to you the wonderful words from a couple of scriptures I think are absolutely so beautiful. That is Psalms 116:1, 103:1, and 113:3 from the RVIC. And brethren, if you have a translation that does not hold true to the inspired word, frankly, these words will not express the true nature of our Heavenly Father. Psalms 116:1. I love Jehovah because he heareth my voice and my supplications. Psalms 103:1. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalms 113:3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Jehovah's name is to be praised. The book of Psalms includes the divine name 700 times. Brothers and sisters, when I have watched the scene from the C or the Cecil B. DeMille's version, which we've probably all seen, and I think it's the best version that's ever been made of the Ten Commandments, the burning bush scene, when Moses was told by the angel of Jehovah, who was probably Jesus, the Logos and the Word. We don't know, but it is quite probable that it was the Logos. He was told to remove his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. And then God tells him that he wants him to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. And Moses goes on to say, let's read Exodus 3, 13 to 15, and I'll read this from the Derby Bible. And it says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they will say, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Brethren, I must confess that every time I have seen it, and I've seen it many times, and I'll watch it again whenever it is rerun on our TV. Every time I see it, I can honestly say that my whole body, my mind and soul is full of the wonder and awe. Just imagine what an experience Moses had when he came before the most powerful force in the universe, and to have that divine, most holy name revealed to him. Brothers and sisters, we have looked at the facts. We have searched the secular writings of the Jews. It is quite plain what we see, that since the nation of Israel was taken into captivity, the last of their earthly kings removed, there was a gradual move by the religious rulers, as well as their conquerors, to remove, substitute the divine name from the Bible. We know that the false church under Satan has followed this practice. The mother of all harlots and her daughters has, in some cases, even forbidden its use today. Brethren, we have the truth that has set us free, free from falsehood. We are told that God's word has set us free from the bonds of darkness. Brothers and sisters, how you view the information presented today is up to you, and only you. But I ask you to consider what Joshua, whose name is very similar, or nearly the same as Jesus, and as the Jews would call him, Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. What did he have to say just before he died at the age of 110? And I quote from Joshua 24:15, slide 7, I think it is, Brother Ray, if you have that. Yes, there it is, Joshua 24:15 from the RVIC. But as for me and my household, I will serve Jehovah. God bless. Thank you, brethren.